This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome to Channel Q. I'm Jay Rodriguez with Michaela Gordon. It's Tuesday morning. Hope you're starting your day off right. For those of you on the East Coast, happy afternoon. It's just a little bit afternoon for you guys on the East Coast. But it's still early for us. In fact, it's the time of day when we like to give you some of the headlines that everyone's talking about with our segment, News on the Beat. So people, Michaela Gordon, what are people talking about?
All right, you guys, here's a good story. So retired astronaut Mark Kelly, who became a prominent gun control advocate after his wife, former Congresswoman Gabby Giffords, was shot in a failed assassination attempt, announced Tuesday he will run to finish John McCain's last term in the U.S. Senate. Kelly, 54, is a top Democratic recruit to take on Republican Martha McSally in one of the most closely contested Senate races of the 2020 election. McSally is a former Republican congresswoman who was appointed to McCain's seat last year after she narrowly lost to Democrat Kyrsten Sinema. McSally leaned heavily on her record as the first woman to fly a combat mission as a fighter pilot, but she was hurt by her embrace of President Donald Trump. If Kelly is nominated, the race would pit a Navy veteran and astronaut against a trailblazing Air Force pilot in the contest to replace McCain, a legendary Navy flyer who was famously shot down and held captive. The 2020 election will decide who finishes the last 2 years of McCain's term. The winner would have to run again for a full six-year term in 2020. Sticking with politics, Wyoming Equality, the state's LGBTQ rights group, has called for disciplinary action against State Senator Lynn Hutchings, who likened homosexuality to pedophilia and bestiality in a conversation with students from a gay straight alliance. Now, the remarks came February 1st on Wyoming's Equality's Gay Straight Alliance Civics Day, when it takes students from GSAs to meet with officials in the Wyoming legislature and Supreme Court. 10 students from Central High School in Cheyenne, their sponsors and teachers, spoke with her about the Enhancing Quality Employment Act. Hutchings, a Republican, said she was unfamiliar with the act, which was then pending in the legislature, but has since died for lack of action. When the group told her it would ban workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, she said, "If my sexual orientation was to have sex with all of the men in there, and I had sex with all of the women in there, and then they brought their children and I had sex with all of them, and then brought their dogs in and I had sex with them, should I be protected from my sexual orientation?" The letter relates. When the students tried to explain the bill, Hutchings repeatedly interrupted them, then tried to fist bump them. My God. And embraced one of them, Wyoming Equality Report. Listen, white ladies, stop fist bumping. Several Wyoming media outlets sought comment from Hutchings, but so far have received no response. Oh, God. Moving on. Chris Pratt is defending his church after star Ellen Page called it infamously anti-LGBTQ. And it's recently been suggested that I belong to a church which hates a certain group of people and is infamously anti-LGBTQ. Nothing could be further from the truth, the Guardian of the Galaxy star wrote on his Instagram story Monday. I go to a church that opens their doors to absolutely everyone. Pratt is reportedly a regular at Los Angeles' Zoe Church, attending with fiancé Katherine Schwarzenegger. Now, the church's pastor, Chad Veach, formerly preached at Hillsong. Oh, I know Hillsong. I used to like that place. Another celeb-friendly evangelical church with 24 locations that reportedly counts Justin and Hailey Bieber and Kendall and Kylie Jenner among its parishioners. Now, Zoe Church's website does not clearly state its views on homosexuality, describing itself as a place where our doors are open to people of all backgrounds. However, Zoe is associated with Hillsong, which does make its view on gay issues clear. In a 2015 essay, Brian Houston, a senior pastor at Hillsong, wrote, that his church welcomes all people, but does not affirm all lifestyles. Put clearly, we do not affirm a gay lifestyle. Page addressed Pratt's affiliation with the church in a subsequent tweet, writing, if you are a famous actor and you belong to an organization that hates a certain group of people, don't be surprised if someone simply wonders why it's not addressed. Being anti-LGBTQ is wrong. There aren't two sides. The damage it causes is severe. Full stop. On Monday, Pratt said his church was not judgmental, citing their support over his divorce from ex Anna Faris. Additionally, Pratt said, my faith is important to me, but no church defines me or my life. I am a man who believes that everyone is entitled to love who they want, free from the judgment of their fellow man. You know, here's the problem with this, though. That is sort of what the church behinds. They're like, no, totally do you. Like, love who you want to love. Well, I don't agree with it because the Bible doesn't, but no. Like, you do, be free.
You're always kind of living wrong. In sin, technically.
Yeah, exactly.
You can come hear the music.
Yeah, we love you. We love gay people. I mean, you guys
just don't talk about it. It's a private struggle. Yeah,
that's really what it is. And I think that's a huge problem. And I remember that story about Hillsong because I really liked Hillsong. And then in 2015, when it came out with them not affirming the gay lifestyle, obviously, I pulled back, but I think it's just such an interesting take.
I have a lot of people who grew up in church, and they now currently go to churches like that, and
right.
They don't tell anyone that they are part of the LGBTQ community because they like the music and they want to feel the connection, but they're not living their authentic lives because they don't want to be shunned from their church.
Yeah.
Or rather, they're just literally not exposing anyone at their church to their actual selves. So it's a tricky situation.
Yeah, it is. And I feel so bad. I feel like that's sometimes a problem that our LGBTQ community has. They want to go to church. They want to go to God, but constantly being told that that's wrong puts you in a really difficult position. So, just keep in mind.
And then the other thing is the consequences of what people's words and their actions against LGBTQ people. When you hear that at a church, it's very impactful and it can make you feel a certain way. And I think it leads to a lot of things that happen negatively for our community.
Absolutely. All right, you guys. Well, when we come back, that's right, Tuesdays are a drag, and we're doing our Drag Race recap with our favorite Toni Moore. So stick around. We are the new Channel Q on radio and radio.com.
Welcome back to Channel Q. I'm Jay Rodriguez with Michaela Gordon, and Tuesdays can be a drag. But we spun that into a great thing by bringing our pop culture expert and drag aficionado, Toni Moore, is in studio with us.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Toni loves Beyonce.
Oh
and the
God,
fact
I
that Jeffrey
Beyonce.
Just played that as the intro song is everything.
And I was literally like doing the uh-oh in my chair.
I know you were dancing.
Yeah, I can hear Beyonce like in a 2-mile radius.
Oh.
Yeah, like just a couple of beats and I'm like on it.
I love that. All right. Spoiler. I've given you guys 2 days on air so that you can get your life together and catch up with Drag Race. And we're about to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's play a little audio of what this week's challenge was about. And then we'll talk
Wait.
It's the response I just got. All right. So first of all, let's just recap your overall thoughts on this episode. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Because I have to tell you, the tone was most people were like, this is the worst episode I've ever seen.
It wasn't the worst episode. I just think game on. Like the game has now finally started. And I like the fact that Naomi came on and was just like, I voted her off because I wanted to. Like she was competition. And I think Naomi just now set the tone of forget the report card. Mm-hmm. I'm here for me. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to do what I need to do for my game. And you have to respect that.
All right. Well, let's get a little insight into what this week's challenge was about.
This week, we challenged our queens to star in a mockumentary about the making of Sex and the Kitty Girl 3. On the runway, category is Cat Couture.
Meow.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines and may the best all-star win.
And what?
I'm going to tell you guys something. Gia Gunn, although she got sent home, posted a photo of what her kitty costume would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I think she would have won the challenge.
Well, you know, that's the thing.
Beat.
That's the thing now. A lot of the queens who were sent home early are still posting pics of what they would have worn.
As they should.
Compliments of April Carrion, who started that during her season.
It's kind of great because they spend so much time, money, and effort into these looks that sometimes don't get seen.
Yeah. So kudos to that. But I think also just for the fans, we want to see like, oh, what would she have done if she was in, you know, still there? And I like that the girls, you know, post it and give us like some insider's tea.
Right.
Now, who was your standouts? Like, what were some of your favorite moments and what were your least favorite?
First of all, I just love the fact that they did a Sex and the City parody. I love Sex and the City.
Like, and how'd you think it went? Because I thought thought it was actually horrible and long.
Well, to be honest, I thought it was too. Because you have to know yourself in order to put yourself in these roles. These are iconic roles. Mm-hmm. And if you're not familiar with the show, then like, you know, you can't, it's not like an interpretation. So the whole thing between Monet and Trinity, as far as who was supposed to play Kim, which, by the way, notice they never said their characters. They always said Cynthia, who played this.
Yeah.
SJP, who played that. I was like, ooh, there must be like some kind of.
You're not allowed to say Carrie or yes. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You had to say the actress's name, yes. And they just be like, you know, Carrie, the girl everyone wants to be, the shopaholic. But you could, I mean, you couldn't. You could say SJP that. You couldn't say the name Carrie. Mm-hmm. But everyone wanted to be Samantha.
And I honestly feel like Monet probably would have done a better job because she got the essence and the sound of Samantha. Where Trinity looked the part, but she didn't get it.
Right. There was a lot of misses there. And I think that Trinity thought, well, I'm the only white girl here. I could look the most like
and
her.
And I think she probably thinks she's done so well in the competition that it's okay if she's not like the actual best, you know, relying on everything else that she's done in this season because it wasn't great.
No. And then poor Latrice who got Cynthia.
Cynthia Nixon.
Well, Cynthia's not a fun character to play. But I mean, it doesn't leave you a lot of room.
I thought it did because I'm like, if she would have played it super like, you know.
Just very blunt and brash. Yeah. And like, but pro women, you know, like.
Or I would have thought the other thing, like, played it like oddly, like lesbian undertones, or like just kind of the suppressed kind of woman. I don't know.
It probably took
an actor to like figure out how to make that funny. You're right, not the easiest low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
But listen, this is All Stars, y'all know there's an acting challenge. If you are not used to the theater, please go to a theater class, UCB something. Find your good Judy who's in the theater and give you some lessons or something.
Okay, so sadly, Latrice Royale did get sent home.
Mm-hmm. Somebody called that. Was that you? You were the one that said Latrice was going home next week, and then she did.
Yep. Because look, I feel like everyone has definitely stepped up, and I feel like Latrice is. I love Latrice. Latrice, if you're listening, you know I love you, girl.
She just texted me. She's a little offended, but it's fine.
but there's just this box, and like when you compare her to everyone else, like everyone else is like killing it. You know what I mean? Like even in the Kitty Couture, like my mouth hit the floor when Monique came hard as Puss in Boots.
Yeah, the Puss in Boots thing was great.
It was like so spot on. The big, like, I want that big hat.
The brim, yeah.
It was everything.
Wide brim hat. You know, I think part of it was we were not necessarily sure what to expect.
Right.
With that, you know, what is that, the Kitty Girl Challenge? Or
the Kitty Couture.
Kitty Couture.
Yeah.
What'd you think of the Pink Panther look?
You know what? That I came in today thinking I have to retract what I said about Monet Exchange.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead. If you guys are listening right now, we are with Tony Moore. He is our professional drag expert. Now, because what did you say? If they weren't listening last week, what did you say?
Like, I wasn't feeling Monet. I was just like, I still don't understand why she's here and everything like that. And then they went over her report card and I was like, okay, the girl is kind of killing it in this. The problem is she's not killing it in the lip sync.
Right.
That's what it is. That's what's making her kind of go, wah, wah.
And what's so sad is like, the lip sync is where I have the fondest memory. If I remember when she went to do the jump,
only lip sync that you were like, oh, she killed it, and she's great. And ever since then, it hasn't been as stellar as that moment.
Yeah.
I have some audio as to, you know, when we're talking about how this game should be played and who should win, Latrice had some really intense thoughts. Some might even say reading former queens for what they do with their crown and platform. So have a listen to Latrice Royale here.
I'm hearing all this report card bullshit, and like I'm looking at who I feel would represent this legacy and actually have a platform and use it for good and not for like self-indulgent music videos, a new t-shirt. That's bullshit. So I want somebody standing up there next to me who is looking at the bigger picture of what this competition really means and stands for.
So does she not have a new t-shirt up for sale?
Probably. I mean, isn't that the point? Is to like a lot of queens get on this just to up their booking fee.
Well, I'll tell you what though, Trinity sort of has used this opportunity. She's come out with her first single, and now she's got two on pre-order that are coming out next week. I mean, it's kind of good business. But we want to keep talking to you. You guys were with Tony Moore, our drag expert. Stick around with the new Channel Q on radio and radio.com. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to Channel Q. I'm Jay Rodriguez with Michaela Gordon. It's Tuesday morning, which means it's a little bit of a drag. But we turned it into a positive thing with our drag race expert, Tony Moore.
Hey.
For our segment, Tuesdays are a drag. So RuPaul's Drag Race is coming to an end, the All-Stars edition at least, this Friday. Four ladies still in the running. What do we think it's going to take for someone to be crowned Friday?
Listen, it's going to take a lot of charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent.
It's true.
Is what it's going to take.
So do you really think that Trinity, who is kind of different than the other girls in the sense that she has a sort of, you know...
Well, she's a self-proclaimed pageant girl. Like, she's
is one of those that, you know, did the plastic surgery route and had some amendments made here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, she was just on Botched. I saw her. She was getting her lips fixed, but she actually looked good.
Yeah. I still feel like she can take it as long as there's no more shenanigans and rigor mortis that's going to happen. Hopefully there's no repeat of what happened last year.
So in the finale, with Shangela and Trixie Mattel. Mm-hmm.
But you made a great point. That was not America. That was not the judges. Those were her fellow queens that sent her home. Because Shangela definitely should have won.
Was the standout.
She had been killing it throughout the entire season three. And when it came up to that last, it was no doubt that she was going to be in the top two. And then when the gaggery happened, it was just kind of like, gasp, shock. Mm-hmm. And it was done by her fellow sisters.
So last year they did a music video. It kind of seems to be the trend for All Stars is the music video moment.
I loved Kitty Girl from
Kitty Girl.
I
love
that one.
So how could they top that this year? Is it a RuPaul bop that these girls will be featured on? Is that where we're thinking we're going? Or will they get rid of one of the girls and just take three to the finale?
I think it's going to be all four.
Okay.
Because I think there's always going to be a top four, and then I think they're probably going to go down to a top two, and then the top two are going to lip sync for their legacy,
right,
and then they're
going
to crown a winner.
So I think in the way the show is shot, and correct me if I'm wrong, they shoot both women winning, both drag queens winning, and then the girls find out live with the rest of us.
Yes, because I remember...
Because of spoilers.
No.
Yes. The audience, do you think, Michaela, if you were there and you saw the winner, that you keep your mouth shut?
I'm going to tell you this. I will not call anybody out, but I have a few insider friends.
See?
They know I'm the biggest Drag Race fan, and because of me, I'm like, tell me.
Yeah.
And then they do, because I'm so annoying, right? Like, they just don't want to hear me talk anymore. So sometimes I have known, but I think that's the best way to
do it. That's what they've been doing with that since Perez Hilton, I think it was like 5-6 years ago, he leaked the winner, and now they just shoot everyone winning.
I didn't know Perez leaked the winner.
Well, Was that Raja's season?
Maybe it might have been Raja's year.
I think so, because then in season four is when they started the finale. Mm-hmm. And I remember being at the taping, and they crowned the first person. And I was like, oh my God, this person won. And then Rue said, oh no, because I know y'all are going to like go out and tell everybody and spoil it. We about to crown all of them. And I was like, the shockery, because I've been here for hours trying to figure out who's going to win.
Yeah. Well,
that's
what do you think about the show moving? Now, RuPaul's Drag Race, not All Stars, the new general version. He's coming back, I think, the next week, the week after this one.
The 28th.
Yeah, so it's going to be mostly unknowns, except for Vanjie.
Mm-hmm.
And switching nights, down to Thursday.
Yeah.
Do you think that'll impact viewership?
I don't know. I feel like they're kind of testing it out to see how it's going to do on a Thursday. I think maybe it didn't go as well on a Friday, and maybe VH1 has... You know, maybe they're cooking up something and building something that's going to be like, you know, Drag Race leading into more, you know, gayness.
Well, I'm going to say, first of all, we're here with Tony Moore, our drag expert. He's with us every Tuesdays, and we're so thankful for him. I will say this, though. I thought it was a terrible call when they decided to do it on Fridays. Because on Fridays, that's my night to go out, particularly now that we've got like this quote unquote 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Fridays is the time to go play, right?
Right, right.
If you have it on Thursdays, I'm like, maybe I shouldn't go out, but I must because, or let me stay at home. It's cozy. It's not weird if I don't go out. I don't feel like FOMO.
Yeah.
I can have a glass of wine and just watch it at my house.
I feel like it's one or two things can happen. People may want to go out more because they just like the camaraderie of like watching Drag Race with other people.
That's what I like.
So it will get them out versus like on a Friday, it forces you to go out earlier.
Uh-huh. Right.
And you may not necessarily want to be out at 8 and then you're going to be out until 2. So that just
that's
seems,
a lot of drinking. That's a lot of outness.
So I wonder, I mean, I'm going to go out. I hope they, I mean, I don't know. Are you hosting a Drag Race for this new viewing?
I don't know. We gonna see. I think we got some
we
things in the works.
See.
Okay, because I'll come out and support.
Oh, thank you, Jay.
Of course. I love it. So,
he's got a few offers, honey. He's busy.
Listen.
She's locking down the deals.
Okay,
give
so
me all the deals.
All the deals. And speaking of that, Toni Moore, where can people find you to get all of your tomfoolery and where you are playing and where you are hosting, what you are acting on?
Oh my gosh, if you want to know about Lil' Ol' Me, all social media platforms at Lounging with Toni.
Okay, great. And guys, that was Tuesday's Our Drag. Toni Moore is our expert. We'll have a lot to talk about next Tuesday once the winner is officially crowned. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot more drama, which Michaela will love.
We love drama. All right, you guys. Well, when we come back, we are so excited to talk about this artist. She is a huge ally for our community, and her new album is just topping all of the charts. Stick around with the new Channel Q on radio and radio.com. We will be right back.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to Channel Q. I'm Jay Rodriguez with Michaela Gordon. Now, just coming off the Grammys on Sunday, we were really pleasantly surprised to see so many queer artists performing. Not only that, I got introduced to someone that really wasn't on my radar, Kacey Musgraves. Before the Grammys, what did you know of her?
I actually knew a lot about her. I think
give
she's
us backstory. I don't know
beautiful.
Who she is.
Well, here's it's sort of like an in thing.
To me, it's she looks like a drag queen, like a 50s drag queen.
Well, one of my dear friends does her makeup, and so I've just known about her because my girlfriend Carlene did her makeup, and I also found that she was just really beautiful. I'm not a big country girl, so
is she
I
country
wasn't.
Though?
Yeah, she is. That's like what she is. They're shaping her up to be like the next Loretta Lynn. Like they're
that's exact. Okay, so when I said drag, I meant with the wig,
totally
very clean Loretta. Lynn, a modern take on that. So then this makes our next story a little bit controversial because in her new music video, Rainbow, she basically has a moment with this what appears to be a young queer boy where she basically, you know, extends some love to him, not in a dirty way, but basically it's the video is called Rainbow and we put it on wearechannelq.com so you can have a look at it. But she was also a judge on Drag Race. Do you think that in this very divided political structure that we're in now, it's very rare that we have out supporters, meaning allies who happen to be straight, who support the LGBTQ community and happen to be country stars?
Let me tell you something. Until, I will be so honest with you, until the Grammys, I didn't realize she was such an advocate for our LGBTQ
or an
community.
Ally, none of it.
With this Rainbow music video, it's totally like being queer is okay. It's amazing. We have a little bit of audio, so let's take a listen. But she's incredible.
Because the sky is finally open, the rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the same old storm.
And she walked away with Album of the Year at this year's Grammys. So Kacey Musgraves, apparently big ally of the community. I'd be curious to see. Now, I had a lot of, this is before I was really involved, 6 years ago in social media. Reba had a comeback series. It was called Malibu Country, which I starred on. My character, I made the deliberate choice to make him overtly and explicitly out loud and proud queer. And, you know, Reba kind of got some slack for it. Also, the neighbor boy was just pretending to be gay to get close to her daughter. And it comes out that he's actually a straight boy. So theoretically, from the outside in, there was a lot of gay undertones in the sitcom. And I often wonder if that's why it went away, if her base or maybe some conservative people had an issue without gay characters on TV. So I wonder if, since she's now, do you think this is her mainstream introduction, would you say? Like being from niche country, do you think that this moment will make her broader than just country?
Yes.
Or you think so?
1,000%.
Like a Taylor Swifty kind of moment,
yeah,
where you start there and you go elsewhere?
Yeah, and she sort of made mention of it at the Grammys.
Okay.
She said, like, this is sort of the new age pop. Like, I'm kind of... She acknowledged that. But I will say this, like, I was in the country world for a minute. I worked with John Rich. There was a time I thought I was going to move to Nashville. It was shortly before I wrote Honey, and it was like I was into that Southern rock.
You had been a guest star on a series where you played a country star.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the name of that? The Unit.
I played Lila Lee, and then I did a series.
Lila, a show. That's
Can You Stand
country.
It?
Yeah.
But I did a show with John Rich as well. And I will say it's very difficult to be LGBTQ or a supporter of our community in
the country
that
world.
Not to be rude to the country world, but I'm just saying I adore Kacey Musgraves more than I ever did because she really is staying so true to that Loretta Lynn vibe, but also being like, no, we're here for the gays.
Well, we're going to try to get her on the show so you, our dear listeners, will have a chance to hopefully have a chat with her. We are trying desperately. If you know anyone that knows Kacey Musgraves, let her know that Jay and Michaela really want to talk with her.
That's right.
So tomorrow is Wednesday, and based on the things I've been seeing on CNN this morning, we're going to have a lot to talk about. Will a government be shutting down? Trump says probably not. But I guess we'll go into that in further detail tomorrow with Samuel Garrett Pate, our political expert.
That's right. And then we always have such a good time at the end of the 9 o'clock hour because Ben Cameron will be joining us with Broadway Beats, where he's letting you know all the things that are happening in the show world. But we have a question for you guys. We want to know, what's the worst nickname you've ever been given? Now, I lovingly call Jay Poppy Rodriguez. I think that's actually a compliment. But we want to know and hear from you, what's the worst nickname? So you can just DM us at We Are Channel Q, or you can call in tomorrow. Our number is 833-77-CALL-Q, which we will remind you tomorrow. But that will be our question. We are so excited to see you tomorrow. Now we have Dumb Gay Politics.
Yeah, and also, just in case you are wondering what to do on Valentine's Day and you happen to live in the SoCal area, we're encouraging all our listeners to join Channel Q at the world famous Abbey, where we present Loveline Valentine Hookup. Dr. Chris is going to be giving a great show there, broadcasting live from the Abbey from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on February the 14th. He's going to be answering your questions on love, sex, and dating, saving sex lives, one answer at a time. And so if you're in SoCal, come join us. Michaela and I are going. Do you think we're going in full high drag, you and I?
It's Valentine's Day. We're not going to go in sweats.
But it's literally all couples and really desperate singles. So which one are we going to be?
We are husband and wife of Channel Q. We're the husband and wife of Channel Q. Am I the husband?
You probably are.
I am the husband.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.